Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right, babe. Ha! Not that Maggie's back in town.
On the fan on this Thursday morning. I got you for 3 hours to the warm-up show, as is our custom here in the overnights. 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side, fresh off the Met game, and we'll be taking your phone calls for those 3 hours at 888-808-1019. And we're going to get to the baseball. Two tough losses for both the Yankees and Mets. Situational hitting continues to be a problem. And really, for me, Fliegelman disagreed with me when I mentioned it to him, but it felt like that was a game the Mets have won over the last few weeks. Certainly at home, as they snap an eight-game winning streak in that building, but it felt like every opportunity early on with the bases loaded, the fifth inning, Vientos first and second, late in the game. We're going to get to it, but I want to start with the New York Knicks. Because I guess I'm hung up on them. As they're about to play, these are the kind of games that create legacies. Like, honestly, I know it's the first round, and it's the lousy Pistons, and they're supposed to beat them, and it's all about what happens next against the Celtics, and that's where things will be decided, and I understand that. But they have put themselves in a position where if they lose this game tonight in Detroit, right? You start thinking about whether the coach is coming back. You start thinking about whether or not they're going to rebuild this team. And quite honestly, off of the image, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and especially as I mentioned, we're going to get to the baseball, and we will, and we'll take your calls on it at 888-808-1019, whatever you guys want to talk about. But as we watch Aaron Judge, right, and I was thinking about Judge and Brunson today. And, you know, not in the who runs the city and all the crap that, you know, not to call it crap, but that Evan has done a lot of, or who's the king of the city. But when I'm thinking about legacies right now, and I know Brunson's been good in the playoffs, right? He's had his games where he's dominated. He's had his games. He's averaging 30 points. He, even the other night, I called him the best closer in the game off of a great run in the fourth quarter. But as we watch Aaron Judge dominate, and we are looking at him, and he's hitting well above 400. He gets three more hits, including a bomb home run in the game last night. Even though the Yankees lost, they're still five games over 500 and in first place. But I'm thinking about these two guys, right? And right now, Brunson, although it's not all on him, and even though certainly in basketball, stars impact the success of your team in the playoffs far more than any baseball player. We know this, that there's five guys on the court. This is why the NBA is run by players. And, you know, although Juan Soto sure had his fun in the offseason, not so much now over the last month. We'll get to that, too, at 888-808-1019. But the NBA is dictator, right? We're sick of it. We're sick of these guys, you know, picking their teams and everything because the stars are so important. And they are invested in the team. And if you think back to Patrick Ewing going through all those seasons, never having that other guy that you could argue Brunson has now with Karl Anthony Towns. Is he the perfect superstar? Is he one of the greatest 50 players to ever play the game as Patrick Ewing was when they came out with that list and part of the Dream Team? No. But is he another Robin? Is he an excellent Robin to Brunson's Batman? Absolutely. And now we're going to get into a series that you can't lose. A series against an inferior team. A series that now they are underdog in a game six on the road. In a series they were up 3-1 and couldn't close it out at home. And the image that is burned into our brains from that game five is Brunson standing on the sideline. And it should also be Brunson missing every shot he takes in the first half and Brunson missing all the foul shots. And we praise him and we love him, and absolutely I do too. But these are the kind of series and these are the kind of games that legacies are built. As we are talking about every time I mention Judge right now, I could hear the people. As I said how great he is, as I said how he's hitting 400 right now, and he leads the Major League Baseball in damn near every offensive category. He has a higher WAR. They showed it on the broadcast today. Aaron Judge has a higher WAR than the entire team of the Baltimore Orioles. Now, it didn't help them to win the series, but like that's where he is right now. He is by far and away the greatest player in the league right now. But the second I say it, there are a handful of Yankee fans, some are even on hold right now possibly, thinking, yes, Chris, that's great and all, but what does it do for me in April? What does it do for me in May? Because the last time we saw him in games that truly mattered, he was dropping a fly ball. And he was striking out more than any other player in postseason history. And while Brunson hasn't been that, while Brunson has been a guy who carried them past the Philadelphia Sixers last year, and Brunson has been a guy who came off injured in game four to lead them in the fourth quarter, this series is what we start to think of Brunson's legacy. Because we've talked about enough, if this were Carmelo Anthony right now, like, we love Brunson, but it's time to hold him accountable on the success of this team. And we talk so much about the coach, and so do I. And honestly, I heard BT say it passionately today. I talked around it last night. I'm going to have a hard time calling for it. But Tibbs could lose his job if they don't win this series. And I'm sorry. And we're going to get to this point, too, where you just, Brunson, the shine is going to start to wear off if this is how they're going to show up in these big games. The shine is going to start to wear off if they can't put away teams easy in the first round and then lose quite easily in the second. Like, these are the kind of games, even in the first round, even against an inferior opponent, you can't lose this game tonight. You can't force a game. You can't have the Pistons face a game, force a game seven back at Madison Square Garden where they have won two out of three already in this series. You can't allow that to happen. And if you are Jalen Brunson, if you are who we all think you are, if you're the first point guard who's been worth a damn in this franchise for the last 20, 30 plus years, if you're the guy that we're all hoping our, you know, pinning our hopes to of getting back to an NBA Finals and winning an NBA championship and watching you emerge and, yeah, get it more than almost any other player and talk to the fans and understand it and write thank yous and throw bouquets and take less money to stay here. All great, all wonderful. Close out the games in big spots. We all love it, but you have to win this game. You have to win these series, and you have to then take this team to another level. And every time I feel like we're about to see if this team can go to the next level and be a team that puts teams away, be a team that comes out and recognizes how important the other night was. Every time I feel like we're about to go there, they take a step back. And they have it's an ugly fashion, and he played a miserable game. And they come out, and they're talking about different ways to do it. Maybe they should take layup drills coming out of the halftime. They have been miserable in the third quarter. They have been miserable at home. They have been miserable in closeout games. Like, this is not a sign of a team led by a coach you have faith can take you to an NBA Finals. And let's be fair, we have to start questioning, like we do for every other superstar. Now, I know I'm not trying to say Judge and him are exactly the same, but we hold Judge to that level of you have to win. Now, I know the Yankees and the Knicks are different. I know his success rate over the last couple of games compared to what Judge done in the postseason is different. But ultimately, that standard is the same.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And these are legacy games. Because I'm telling you right now, nobody, I don't care if you have tickets to Game 7, nobody wants to see a Game 7 Madison Square Garden. No one wants to see it because anything can happen. And we've seen him deal with injuries. We've seen him have to come off the court. We've seen him, obviously, last night or the other night, unable to get back into the game. And we've argued about that over and over again. And I can't do it anymore. We all know Tibbs made a colossal mistake. But as I'm getting ready, as I'm thinking all day today, because I'm hung up on this Knicks series, The two frustrating losses for the Mets and Yankees. But as I'm even watching the games, I am focused on the idea that this is a game that this Knicks team, and I know they've turned the corner. And like, this is where we have to start moving on from this. Right? And I know we talk about it, but I don't know if we're actually there. Like, because we sit back and we go, oh man, it's been forever. And I'm as guilty as anyone on it. It's been forever since we've been this good. It's been, oh, Tibbs turned this whole damn thing around. Like, oh, can you believe that we're complaining about a team that's the 3 seed and, you know, a heavy favorite and a 3-1 lead in a series? Yeah, that's all great. Do you watch, like, we just saw LeBron James get his ass beat in a 5-game series as a favorite, as many people's picks to win the whole damn thing, him and Luka, and fall on their ass and watch a Minnesota team with former Knicks go out there and put it to them in 5. We saw the Boston Celtics take care of business. We've seen Cleveland take care of business. That's what good teams do. And that's how legacies are built. And I'm tired of just being satisfied with the idea that, hey, they're so much better and things. Like, at some point, we have to see a Knicks team that puts their foot on the throat of the opponent. And I keep hearing, and I was listening as I'm driving in and speaking about Minnesota and, you know, the big ragu, and he, that's the difference. They need dogs. We need tough guys. I don't think the Knicks have been out-toughed. Like, I, that's the one aspect of this. I think they've been right there, ready to battle this Pistons team, going right at their face, going right physically. Like, that's the one thing I don't think they're lacking. Play P.J. Tucker. Well, yeah, that's not, they don't need a guy to get into a fist fight on the court. They've stood up for themselves. They haven't taken an inch from the Pistons. But they're two best players who are supposed to be brought here to win championships. Jalen Brunson became this great player. Nobody expected it. Right? He took this franchise to heights we didn't see coming. He became a great player. None of us thought it was, like, none of us were that happy about his free agent signing. Oh, does this help you win a championship? Because that's what it's all about. When he was signed, most of us Knicks fans were like, okay, solid, he'll make us better. But is he a championship player? And we feel like we've answered that and he's earned that, but yet it has to show up on the wins and losses. It has to show up in these series. And I don't think that it's hyperbole to say that his legacy is on the line over the next two games if they play two games. You cannot be who we think Jalen Brunson is and lose this series. That's just not how it works. Same thing with Judge, right? I'll tell you, he's the greatest player, best player, best player. We talk about it a lot. But how many Yankee fans are already furious with how he's performed in the postseason? How many years does it go now? Again, not the perfect example, but these are the two, arguably, the two best players in the city. Right now, obviously, last year, Lindor has absolutely thrusted himself into that. Alonso's having a tremendous year, and we all know what Soto's capable of. He just got here. But right now, the two absolute leaders of their teams, two of the best players in their sport, who we call captain. And I know Lindor's right there. He hasn't officially made it so. But these two guys, the expectations are ratcheted. And whether it's his fault or not, they have to win this series, or we start questioning about, is he the kind of superstar? Forget, we talk so much about the coach and whether or not he's the kind of coach that can lead them to an NBA Finals. Is he the kind of coach who could take you over the hump? Is he the kind of coach who's good with a young team and a non-talented team and get them to play hard and play good defense and turn around a franchise and then there's a limit? Like, that's the question. Well, is Brunson a really good star and someone who can close out games but isn't impactful enough in these series to take over? Now is the time to find out. This series, this game, is enormous for the New York Knicks. Enormous. And it's the coach, it's Brunson, it's Karl Anthony Towns, it's OG Anunoby and all the money he's made. And it's more about, like, the legacy of what we think this team is and what we think Jalen Brunson is. And it's just, I was thinking about it today as Judge is having another great game. He's hitting 400, and I know half the fan base is saying, who the hell cares? Like, honestly, who the hell cares? I know he's great, it's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. He dropped the ball. And I heard Evan and Tiki and the afternoon show today talking about what was more pathetic. What, that fifth inning for the New York Yankees in the World Series, or watching Jalen Brunson stand on the sidelines waiting to come in? And so I was just thinking about it all day today, because we hold our great players to a higher standard. And this is the kind of loss. This would be the kind of lost series that changes how we feel about this core, about this coach, and even about this superstar if they can't find a way to win this thing. Tonight is an enormous game for the New York Knicks. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Mets and Yankees. And obviously, like I said, the Mets, it felt like, for me, this was a game that, especially at home over the last couple weeks, the Mets have won. They have found a way to come through. They find a way to get that hit. They have Corbin Burnes on the ropes early. He can't throw a damn strike. They have him bases loaded, can't come through. Fifth inning, double play from Vientos. And it's hard to get on him. He hit a home run, and he's turning it around, but hits into a double play. And then, of course, what we saw in the ninth inning, bases loaded, nobody out. down two and they can't figure out a way to get both runs in. And now the Soto thing is he's hitting the ball hard, right? But he swings 3-0 in a big spot and hits a fly ball. He is yet to really have an impact with this team. And right now there's another injury to the bullpen with Danny Young. They continue to get unbelievable performances from guys you've never heard of before. The pitching lab for the Mets, while we still go through this, I almost can't say the word Mets without talking about the pitching lab and how impressed I am. And you see another incredible performance today from someone we have no idea who he is, and yet here he is pitching well on the mound for the New York Mets. But you're starting to see this offense and their continued lack of coming through in these moments have been hidden by the bullpen success and have been hidden by the starting pitching success. And now, like we talked about, you got Diaz less available. You've got an injury to Minter. Stanek coming back to earth over his last three performances. You've got another injury to Danny Young, who isn't necessarily the greatest of arms, but another guy who's been pitching fairly well out of this bullpen. And this was a game where 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position and Juan Soto not coming through finally felt like, I know they've lost games similar to this, but not at home. Not with the multiple times that they had an opportunity to come through. Not with two outs, nobody on in the seventh, and end up giving up two runs. The bullpen hasn't had that moment. This offense, while struggling, has always done just enough to win these games. And not that I'm concerned about it. The Mets are playing great. They have an opportunity to take the series later today. But ultimately, it just felt like this was the game, and eventually the worm is going to turn. If Soto doesn't start getting it going, if they continue to be this poor with runners in scoring position, if the offense is, you know, has had its moments, but for the most part has been kind of lackluster all year and been carried by their pitching, eventually this pitching is going to crack. Eventually, the pitching is going to crack, and you're seeing it now in the bullpen. Buto has not been as good. Stanek has not been as good. Diaz is not as available, and now you have two injuries to Young and Minter. And eventually, it wasn't going to be, and we could debate whether or not, you know, Mendoza didn't go to Garrett, could made some decisions, didn't stick with the kid long. Like, there's a couple of different scenarios you could get into the moves made by the manager, but he's been so damn good. This team's been so damn good. It's hard to really get on them. But this felt like the first game where, at home, with all the momentum and all their, you know, vibes, they found a way to win this game most of the time over the last few weeks, if not all of the time. And eventually, that bullpen's not going to be able to carry this offense forever. And 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position and all of the different situations they had last night and came up small in every one of them, including Juan Soto, including Lindor. And there's questions for me around McNeil. I know that his numbers are okay with his, you know, recent return. I have a real problem. I don't like watching him as a baseball player. I don't know what it is. I don't think he makes good contact very, very often. He doesn't hit the ball hard very often. You've got him. You've got a couple of really bad at-bats from Marte where you were wondering whether or not, you know, Winker would be starting over Marte, but Marte had pretty good numbers against Burns. But ultimately, the Mets have been so damn good that it's hard to get on them. But it just felt like this was a game they typically win. And when they start dropping these games are when the Soto noise is really going to get loud. Because we can have the conversation about it. And hey, he's on base still a lot. And he hit the ball hard, right? He's got the hard rate. The hard hit rate is still up there. He hits a couple of balls hard I think his first at bat, right? He hits the hard line drive to right. So he's having decent at bats. But there's been zero success, really, for him. And this offense has had trouble in situational hitting and had trouble scoring runs, really, for the entire year. But it's been overshadowed by the immense success of the rotation and the bullpen. And while the rotation is never-ending and how great it's been, no matter who they start the game, Brazoban, doesn't matter, whoever they're going to start the game with has been excellent. The bullpen is starting to show some cracks. And you got the bullpen starting to show cracks. You got the injuries to the bullpen. And for the first night, a myriad of opportunities, 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position. And it really hasn't hurt them. And if it's going to start to hurt them, the noise around Juan Soto is going to get a lot louder. We'll get to the Yankees and their frustrating loss and a bad performance from Carlos Carrasco, and they had their own issues with situational hitting and their own issue against left-handed relievers at the bottom of the lineup. So we got plenty of baseball to talk. I did want to start Knicks because, to me, this is an enormous game for them against the Pistons tonight. I do not want to see another game in this series. So we'll start there with the legacies of Brunson and the coach and how we feel about this team if they do not make it out of this series or even lose this game six.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 229. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. The kind of game Brunson's got to show up to tonight and the kind of series he has to win, like bare minimum. All right, we'll see what happens against Boston. It's a better team. But he's going to start to need to be held accountable as much as Aaron Judge is. Like, you have to win these series and you have to, you can't have these games, and the NBA too. Like, it's, you're too important. And that's why we're all furious he's on the sidelines, because he's too important. And listen, I'm not knocking him. He's been great. But you, this is, like, you have to go and win these games. Like, he has to find a way to do it. As much as Tibbs has to find a way to do it, as much as Carl Anthony Towns has to find a way to do it, Brunson is the guy. Brunson is the franchise. These are legacy games. If you win, maybe they get forgotten after you lose to Boston, if that's what happens. If you lose, nobody forgets. Nor should we. 888-808-1019. Let's go to EJ in East Meadow. What's up, EJ?
Oh, C-Mac. Man, people like you. People like you. You got that voice. You sing, all that other good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You are such a... The reason why people call you a shill,
yeah,
is because And listen, I love you, man. The reason why people call you Sil is because you paint these negative pictures about every single you know, situation that doesn't have to do with your team. So forget about the Yankees. Forget about Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson's legacy is not going to change if they lose tonight and then they lose again, they actually win or lose. It's not changing.
Oh, sure.
We can hold him accountable if he doesn't perform.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that he had a bad game. Give me a break. The second thing, real quick, before you cut me off. The second thing, you come on here. You're painting this bad thing. The Mets lost the game. If you were on when we got stomach punched the last, you know, two out of the four national games,
mm-hmm,
and then got stomach punched, and then you would literally said the same exact thing. Oh man, what are we gonna do? Oh, you know, Soto's not performing, this, that, and the third,
yeah,
all this other crap. And then guess what?
Wow.
They win the next game. They, yeah, blow them out by 19-5,
mm-hmm,
and now we're back here again. It's the same thing. They lost a freaking game, man.
I understand that, EJ, but 888-808-1019. Okay, Mets lost the game. Let's go. Next call?
Should I not give an opinion on what happened
in the game?
All I'm saying is that
this offense has struggled this start of the year, and it's been carried by its pitching. I don't know if it can last forever, and the bullpen is showing cracks. That's all I say. I didn't say they stink. I didn't say they're done. I didn't say here
it
begins the fall. I'm talking about what happened in the game.
You said it was hidden. It's not been hidden. We have all pointed out the offense
but it's hidden under, no one's complaining about it because they're winning despite it.
Obviously, you're the one complaining. Your open was, we can't really kill him. We can't really kill him for it because, hey, they're winning.
Yes.
And then the next word out of your mouth is...
I didn't kill anybody. I'm talking about this was a game where they struggled offensively to come through. They were 0-10 with runners in scoring position. Should I not talk about the game and the struggles of the game? I in no way... That's what I'm talking about.
But
so
then
what
why
I'm
are you pointing
about.
Out? What are you? What, but you're saying, and you know what? The bullpen's starting to show. Every bullpen in the next.
Well, because this bullpen didn't for the first month.
Why are you yelling at me, man?
Because I'm just saying, every bullpen does. This bullpen hasn't for a month.
But we knew they were going to. They're not going to go freaking.
That's all I'm saying. I'm saying is the offense better get it together and Juan Soto because they can't be carried by the bullpen as they've been for the last month.
Which is fine, but it's
not.
All
right.
When
did I say that the Mets are done because of it?
I didn't say that.
Well, what would you like me to say, EJ? Like, this is what you don't. I'm talking for 4-5 hours every single night. What am I supposed to say? Well, listen, hey, the Mets, today's a loss. Tomorrow's a win. Today's a loss. Hey, 888-808-1019. Hey, guys, they lost today. What do you guys want to talk about? Like, I got to talk about the game, EJ. That's what happened. Like, I love it. Like, that's what you guys don't understand. Like, you don't understand this. I'm talking about the game. I in no way made it seem in any level that the Mets are in trouble, that I'm overly concerned about them, that this is the beginning of the end. I just said most of the season, the New York Mets have not been great offensively, and they've struggled with situational hitting and runners in scoring position other than Lindor. And obviously, Pete Alonso, who's been great. They've gotten the worst offense at the position of center field in all of baseball. Vientos has really struggled to start the year. He's turning it around. Again, Soto hasn't been awful, but he just hasn't been really anywhere close to Soto or as impactful. And they've been winning games with unbelievable starting pitching and the best bullpen in baseball. And all I'm saying is, the bullpen is. They blew two games against the Nationals, the bullpen did. Right? And they haven't scored a ton of runs. And last night felt like a game that they have been, especially at home, finding a way to win. And they didn't find the way to win last night. And all I'm saying is as the bullpen starts to become human, and we're seeing Minter be injured, we're seeing Young be injured, and we're seeing Diaz, and we'll see how this progresses, but he's got a little bit of a hip, and he seems to be less available than normally he would be. Where we haven't seen back to backs in a while. Like he just might not be as available as he used to be. So the offense better start picking it up to keep up this ungodly pace of winning. Like I agree, they're in first place. They're arguably they're playing like the best team in baseball. I'm not saying anything different, but like, what would you like me to say? If I want to talk Mets, like, what would you like me to say? That's what happened in the game last night. They had multiple opportunities to come through offensively. They didn't. And the bullpen gave up two runs when there was two outs in the seventh. And they haven't done that. This team has been remarkable with how well they've pitched. And the idea that they blew the lead they blew, the six-run lead they blew the other day. They've lost the game on Friday night to the Nationals in the manner they did. And then tonight, with a one-run lead, tell me, as a Met fan, the last handful of years, you're going through that game with a 1-0 lead for the fourth inning, the fifth inning, the sixth inning. In the last couple of years, you've been waiting to blow that game. This year, I don't think, I haven't felt like that. It felt like you're going to find a way to tack on another run or two and find a way to win because the bullpen's been unbelievably good. And last night was not the case. And baseball is a very, momentum up and down. And right now, I'm just saying you can start to see the cracks in the bullpen. It's not going to be this good forever. And you're right. Most Met fans know that. Not breaking news here, nor am I saying that there's anything wrong with it or here comes the fall. Not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the offense has to be better with runners in scoring position because it wasn't going to get them by winning at the clip they've been winning at the whole year. And the more this happens, games like this happen, the noise around Juan Soto has been somewhat muted. It just has. It hasn't been that loud because they're winning. Everyone gets mad at Sal when he talks about, I would be happier if Juan Soto was producing. And like, well, who cares about Juan Soto? What are you talking about? All I care about is winning, and they're winning, and they're in first place. They got the best record in baseball, and that's true. But if that starts to change, which, again, unless you think they're going to win 130 games, it's going to, then the noise around Juan Soto is going to get louder. The noise around this offense is going to get louder. It hasn't been that loud because they've been winning based on their pitching. And the rotation still did an incredible, has done an incredible job. They're yet to have, I can't remember a single blow up from the rotation, but the bullpen is overworked because the one thing the rotation isn't doing is giving them innings, and now has a little bit of some injury issues. And last night, Stanek, who's not been as good as he was to start the year, had blown two saves in the National Series and then gives up two runs in the seventh with two outs. And then they tack on in the ninth with sacrifice flies, and the Mets are unable to do so. And all I'm saying is when Taylor hits the home run, and then they load the bases with nobody out, this Met team has won that game. At least it's felt like that. They do have a handful of losses, and I'm sure. And as Fliegelman was telling me, almost all of them have ended with either, you know, with the tying run at the plate. So the Mets have played a lot. Even in the games they've lost, they've been right there with the ability to win it, so I get that. But this one in particular, to me, especially how they had an 8-game winning streak at home. They have Taylor hit the leadoff home run. The lineup turns over. They get the bases loaded. You didn't think the Mets were going to win? I did. I thought the Mets were going to win because that's how they've been doing it. And then they had some ugly at-bats. And were unable to come through. That's what happened in the game. And that's, to me, the storyline of the game for me was, felt like they win this game. And today they didn't. And eventually this bullpen is going to start to show some flaws. And the offense better get better with runners in scoring position. Ethan in Buffalo. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
What's good? I'm sorry, man. What's up, Ethan? Yes.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say, hi, how are you doing tonight?
Good, how
are you? Anyways, I'm doing great. Anyways, I want to talk about Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks. You know, as much as I want to put the blame on Thibodeau and the New York Knicks right now, you know, the amount of picks that they traded for Mikal Bridges and the amount that they're getting back for those picks, they're not really getting much in return. So there's so much pressure being put on a couple players. And Tom Thibodeau plays a very, very strategic game in regards to how he plays his superstars. In this case, is Cat and Brunson. So if you look at the last game, when Brunson and Cat are not producing, that's why they lost the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Absolutely. So you go into Game 6 hoping that Brunson snaps out of whatever happened to him in Game 5.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, if they crawl into the second round, you know, they're putting way too much pressure on these players. And that's why I think why so many Knicks fans had a big problem with getting rid of Julius Randle and especially Dante DiVincenzo,
mm-hmm.
because that depth they had on the bench and whatnot, and they have no depth whatsoever. So, you know, you got Josh Hart that's scared to throw up any shot whatsoever. You know, and some of these lineups that Tibbs plays, they can't shoot. So the only people that can score are Cat or Jalen Brunson.
Well, yeah, I disagree with that because we saw OG Anunoby score 25. We saw OG Anunoby
score. That's without Brunson. What do you mean? But Brunson was injured, so they had to have someone substitute in for Brunson.
OG Anunoby scored, but that means he can score and he can shoot. And OG Anunoby scored 14 points in the first half. Where was he in the second half?
Yeah, but whose fault is that then? For who's passing the ball to who? There needs to be expectations on this Knicks team.
Yeah.
It needs to be pass the ball to the person that's open, that can drive to the net. Enough of the ISO. There's no more ISO on this team. Randall's gone.
No, well, I mean, listen, yeah, but Brunson plays, I saw a little bit with the ball, especially in the fourth quarter.
He does. And you know what? And sometimes it works, and he is a closer.
Yeah.
He has been a closer.
Yeah.
So how dare you tell me that he hasn't closed out a series? Because he has.
He closed out one series, and I'm just saying, these are the kind of games that we judge him by. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
I was disappointed in the last game, and now this game is another opportunity for him, and he's going to be judged by this series.
So Chris, one bad game where he doesn't put up 30 plus, all of a sudden we're hanging him on the cross? That's it?
My God. I'm killing the Mets and I'm hanging and that's what I'm doing with Jalen Brunson. I'm talking about these are important games. I mentioned that our superstars are measured by the success of the team. That's it. I'm not blaming him for anything. I'm saying that they've got to come out and win. And if they don't win, it's going to fall on him. That's it. I called him the best closer in the game 2 days ago. He is the best closer in the game. He had a miserable game four. I didn't like the energy the team came out with. He's the captain of the team, and this series will hang on him. If they lose this series, he gets a knock. That's all I'm saying. He's got to come out, win this game. I'm not saying he's not anything other than what he's been, a superstar. I mentioned him in the same breath as Judge, who's the best baseball player in the world right now. Like, I'm saying the expectations are now to win this series. And I'm nervous. I'm nervous. They're an underdog in this game. Like, I mean, I still expect them to win, but like, are we aware of what's going on? Like, the Pistons have had the better of play in 90% of the game played in Madison Square Garden. 90% of the minutes of the games played in MSG, the Pistons have been the better team. They're underdogs going into this game in Detroit. This Pistons team is just young enough and inexperienced enough to think they can win this series. And if they win game six and have to go back to game seven, all the pressure in the world falls to Jalen Brunson and to the New York Knicks. That's my point. That's my point. And as I heard everybody yell and the discussion about whether or not the coach will be fired, I've had it myself on if they lose this series, the coach gets fired. If they lose this series, the coach gets fired. Well, if they lose this series, does Brunson not take a knock? Like, to me, that's all I'm saying. Like, this is, legacies are built here. Go win this game tonight. And that should be our expectations of him in the same way it's our expectations of the other stars in our city. It's the expectation of Aaron Judge to go win. It should be the expectation of Jalen Brunson to go win. And as much as I've been on the coach, it's not just him. It's the rest of this team. He's the captain and the leader, and they've come out with less intensity than the other team at every minute in Madison at home, other than the 21-0 run. They've come out lousy at halftime. They've come out lousy. They've come out with low energy at different times in the series. And now they are playing a very dangerous game. And Jalen Brunson is held to the same expectations as the other great players that play in our city. Especially when you're playing a series you're supposed to win. Nay, a series you're supposed to dominate. And they haven't at all. They haven't dominated this thing at all. They've had the better of play in Detroit, and that better continue tonight. But, I mean, every game has come down to the last basket. Every one. They are underdogs. And I'll tell you this. I don't know. How good would you feel about heading back for a game seven with the Pistons winning two in a row and all the momentum and all the pressure in the world on the Knicks. The Pistons will be free and easy. The Pistons are playing with house money. If the Pistons force a game seven, they've had an incredible season. They were down 3-1, came into Madison Square Garden, took game five, went back home and won their first home playoff game in forever, and forced a game seven at Madison Square Garden. Whatever happens in that game seven, the Pistons have had an incredible season. All of the pressure will be on this Knicks team. All of it. And I'm sorry, but I'm just, as we were talking, the afternoon show was talking about that fifth inning compared to last night. You know, again, we're having the Judge is the best player in baseball at the moment during the regular season. Every time I say he's the best player in baseball, I get pushback on, well, in the regular season. And I'm just thinking, like, I was thinking about it all day. This is a game for Jalen Brunson. We have Jalen Brunson sitting on the sidelines, unable to get into the game. He's the superstar. He's the captain. He didn't play well in game five. And it's time to hold the coach accountable, and it's time to hold the superstar accountable. He has to go win this series. I don't think that's unfair. And yeah, legacies are built. Are you going to feel like we talk about, like, we were wondering whether Randall's the type of guy who can lead a team, right? And Jalen Brunson, I mean, there are people saying that Cunningham is the best player in this series. Not me. But that's what people were saying that going in. Who's got the best player in the series? That was like a question that many around the NBA were asking with the way Cunningham played this year. Tonight's the night to go out and prove that question ridiculous. That's what I want to see. And I just feel like there's been a lot of noise about the coach, a lot of noise about Karl Anthony Towns, a lot of noise about everybody else. This is legacy building time. And he's the captain and the leader of the team. He's the best closer in basketball. I called him as much 2 days ago. Go out there and prove it. Philip in Jamaica. What's up, Phil?
Hello. Thank you. Taking my call as usual. I want to talk about the Yankees. In
yes.
particular, the closer, Williams. Don't
yes.
forget, I wonder how much a factor. He gave up that home run to Alonso. And
yeah.
a lot of times when you give up a big home run, it lingers on and affects your pitching. How much do you think that home run has an effect now? And if it does, how do you fix something like that?
Yeah,
can you fix it?
Yeah, I don't know if it does. I really don't. Who knows? It's hard to tell. We've seen guys give up big home runs and then continue to have, you know, dominant seasons. But it's clearly something. I don't know if it's that. How do you fix them? I think the Yankees are doing a decent job of it. They pitched him in two games where they were down a run late, and he, in both times, he came through it. A little bit shaky last night, to be totally honest with you. I'm very excited about the Yankee bullpen. I think he'll be better. I think Weaver's been great. Cruz, I mean, he's leading the American League in bullpen strikeouts, in relief strikeouts. He's been unbelievable. Tim Hill did not pitch well. The problem with the Yankees is their starting pitching. Like the Yankee bullpen, I'm not overly worried about it, and we'll see what Devin Williams can become. I fully expect Devin Williams to come back and be a great pitcher again. I don't know if I'd give him the closer role. That's the one thing I disagree with the Yankees and maybe most people. Even if he finds himself and gets back to being dominant, once I made the decision and I have someone who did it for me already in Weaver, like at the beginning when they first signed him or traded for him, I said, hey, he's the closer. He's earned it. Weaver's been a reliever for all of half a season. Like, honestly. So, like, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with Devin Williams being the closer. He should be the closer. He's earned that with how dominant he's been as a closer in Milwaukee. But Weaver was great for them last year. Weaver did close for them down the stretch of the season into the World Series. And now he hasn't given up a run. If Weaver is going to have a dominant season, and we'll see. I don't. He's going to give up runs. But if Weaver has a dominant season, why would I take the closer role away from him? Devin Williams then becomes my eighth inning guy. I have no problem with that, but we'll see how the Yankees handle it. They're on their way to building him back. I thought he looked better in these last two games. He's got some swing and misses on the changeup that he hadn't gotten before, but ultimately, I expect him to be back. The problem is they're throwing out two pitchers that aren't any good. Right now, Will Warren is up in the air. He's got decent stuff. He's an inexperienced young kid. He has not been overly good, overly consistent. He makes mistakes. He walks guys. And then Carrasco, you know, he was really good against Toronto, but he is not. I mean, he's 38 years old. And if he gets the ball up at all, he can't live in the zone. He doesn't have the stuff to live in the zone. And also the lineup, like we're talking, like they showed the graphic against left-handed pitching. They're actually better than you'd think. But the main problem with the offense, because the top of the order has been unbelievable. Obviously Judge, but Grisham, Rice, Goldschmidt have all been incredible. And Volpe's even turning it around so far. But the major problem right now, like the major flaw, one, they're still bad in situational hitting. Like Reyes has an opportunity to hit a sac fly to tie that game. He's unable to do it. Like, but that's the issue. Right now, late in the game against left-handed relievers, the bottom of the order is atrocious against left-handed pitching. Atrocious. The overall numbers might be okay because Goldschmidt's killing it, Judge is killing it. Bellinger actually has better numbers against lefties. So like they've actually done better against lefties than you would think, or that your eye would tell you from watching it. They put up the numbers. They're like second in the American League batting average and home runs and slugging against left-handed pitching, where I would have thought it was worse than that. But specifically, when you have right now Oswaldo Cabrera as your third baseman, and you have Jason Dominguez, who is, you know, just he's not a major league hitter right-handed right now. And you could say for whatever you want to say that for, the Yankees are putting on the lack of at-bats he's had right-handed, because obviously there are more right-handed pitchers, so he has more left-handed at-bats. He hasn't played all that much in the minor leagues, believe it or not. His at-bats were low. They were talking about it on the broadcast. So he hasn't had that many professional right-handed at-bats. But right now, he is not a major league right-handed hitter. He's hitting 80. So when you add that, and right now with Jazz hurt, you're talking about Reyes, but he hasn't been good. But you've got Oswaldo Cabrera. You've got Jason Dominguez in particular. Those two guys are zeros right-handed. Zeros. So, like, they don't have anybody who can give you a real threat right-handed. I mean, against left-handed pitching, rather. That's the real problem. And what you're seeing is every team is bringing in a ton. Every left-handed reliever they have is throwing against the Yankees, and especially the bottom of the order. The bottom of the order is guaranteed outs against left-handed pitching. And they haven't been good situational hitting. And Bellinger still, you know, hopefully he'll turn it around. But to me, the problem is right now they are desperate for Luis Gil back. And that's the one thing about it is, like, I don't think these are going to be problems that the team is going to have in the second half of the season. It might. I can't tell you whoever they're going to pitch is going to be good. But Luis Gil is coming back, and they are going to add a starter at the rotation for the rotation at the trade deadline. I don't know if it's going to be a top-of-the-rotation starter. But Will Warren and Cookie Carrasco, I don't think, are going to have the roles they have now during the push of the season. The question is, how do they get through until the deadline? And Max Fried is going to be part of it. I think Carlos Rodon has to be part of it. But they just lost a lousy series to a lousy team. This is a bad... I mean, they took 3 of 4 against Tampa Bay, and they took the series against Detroit, Toronto, and now lost this one. So they're 7-4 in the American League East. That's not terrible. They won 2 of the first 3 series. But this is a lousy series against a team they're better than, and an offense that hit the 2-run home run to start the game and then kind of went dark other than Judge, and the bottom of the order stinks against left-handed pitching. Just stinks.